Thank you for your prayers this morning. Covet your ongoing prayers as we go to share this morning's message. Thank you, Lauren, for that great commission. And I want us just to take a moment and look at the verse, and this is where my heart is this morning. The verse before the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 17, and it says, when they saw him, they worshiped him. But, does anybody know what the next two words are? Some doubted. The title of the message this morning is, I Am in Need. And so that makes it pretty personal. So I am in need this morning, and I want us all, as we go through this message, to apply these situations to our own situation. So I think from time to time we all come to this point where we are in need. If we don't come to the point where we are in need, we need to come to that point when we know we are in need. We don't have it all figured out. You can turn your Bibles to John chapter 20. We're going to look at this story here about Thomas. And we're going to start at verse 24. John chapter 20, and start reading at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands and the prints of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. Now this Thomas had walked with Jesus. He'd walked with his disciples. And he knew Jesus was condemned by false accusation. Jesus was crucified on the Roman cross, buried in a rock sepulcher in the grave, raised up to life by God. And here he stood, showed up alive. And verse, if we go back to 19, in the same day, at even the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so unto them, he shewed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And it says here on further that, but Thomas wasn't here. But Thomas knew who Jesus was. But he says there, Thomas had seen all the miracles that Jesus did. He'd walked with him. He knew who he was. And yet he says, you know, I just can't believe this. I'm not going to believe it. Except I see it, except I touch him. And except I put my hands in his side and I feel him, I'm just not going to believe it. Let's look at verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now let's just go back here and read up, start at 26 where we left off. And after 8 days again, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the door being shut, and stood in the midst, said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. How many, and my question to us today is, how many times are we at this point ourselves? Where, yeah, we know Jesus, we know the Christian life, we know how wonderful many miracles Jesus can perform, and we have this little issue before us. and we doubt that Jesus has the power or that we have the power to overcome this little issue. In verse 28, Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Becomest, because thou hast seen and hast believed, blessed are Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And I believe this is where we are today. We're trusting and we're believing. And we're happy. Can we say we're happy when we believe? Because I think sometimes in my life when I doubt, happiness seems to creep away. And then we'll skip down to verse 31. And he says, These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. How many of us, verse 31 says, and believing that ye might have life through his name, and it's through Jesus' name that we can believe. How many of us have heard the words, yes, I'm a believer, yes, I'm a Christian? And it relates, and when I looked at this whole message that I was putting together, and I don't like to look at the Sunday school lesson until I'm finished putting a message together, and when I saw how the Sunday school lesson this morning was pretty much the same thing that I had prepared, so but if we truly believe, works of righteousness will come forth. Look at verse 19. And in verse 19, they were gathered together. And in 20, we already read them. The disciples were assembled together. And they were assembled together, and Jesus showed them the proof, the connection. In verse 21, the connection. Then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. He's saying that I and my Father are one, and I'm sending you to be my spokesman from here forward. Let's back up to verse 12. Now, I wanted to turn over to John chapter 14 for a couple verses. Look at a couple verses in John chapter 14. John 14 verse 12. Jesus says here, words of Jesus, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. In verse 12, he says, greater works. And this has always amazed me. And I don't know that I can completely explain it. But in verse 12, he says, in greater works than these. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he that believeth on Jesus Christ, the works that I do shall he do also. The same works that Jesus did, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto the Father, and when he goes unto the Father, he sends the Holy Spirit to perform greater works than he did. This is where I guess sometimes I'm just about like Thomas. I come up just a little short of believing that I can do greater works. That's what he's promised. That's what he's telling us. Greater works shall ye do. But in verse 13 he says, and this is, I believe, the secret and the place where we time and again come up short. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. And that's why the title of this message is that I am in need. The place that I believe many times that I come up short is that I fail to ask. I fail to recognize that I'm in need. The whole church world around us, beloved, I shouldn't say the whole church, but much of the church world around us is asleep today in easy beliefism. They've been born again. They believe that Jesus Christ is crucified and risen, but there's no power in their world. And the power finally comes, and when we ask God to give us power, give us strength to live over a victory over sin. I remember a day I said, Lord, you know, if you can get me out of this mess, if you can get me out of this mess, I'll serve you the rest of my life. I was sure he couldn't, but in 2 years' time, he had me out of my mess. And I'm still, I believe today that I still need to daily believe that he did it. Or then I could not perform my end of the deal. I believe that Jesus Christ, he took care of those issues, and today I'm still responsible to serve him. But a lot of times I'm just about like Thomas. I just have a tendency to doubt. And when we doubt, we have trouble keeping up our end of the deal. Look at here at where John 14. I want to look at 5, 6, and 7. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. For if ye had known me, ye should have known the Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. This is before the happening when he doubted. Jesus had told him, I am the way. I'm the way. Thomas, you know who I am. And a few chapters later, he's doubting. He's not able to see and not able to understand. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple, at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, what I want to look at is a couple examples and situations here. What happens when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have within us the Holy Spirit? Something, the works that will come out of us. Most of us know this happening. And we see John and Peter and John going up to the temple to worship and at the hour of prayer. And so I believe that believers in Jesus Christ, they will go up to the house to worship. They will go to worship. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them, and entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, "Look on us." And I believe this is an example for us today. This lame man, poor man, was asking an alms. And Peter says, "Look on us." And I believe today, if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have something to give. And Peter says, "And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." This poor man's looking because Peter and John said, "Look on us, we have something for you." Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So what you and I have today, my question this morning is it available for everyone else? Are you willing to share it? What Jesus has given us, this belief, this feeling of being in need, whatever we have in our hearts, are we willing to give it? Peter said, "Look on us," and then he says, "What I have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received sight, received strength. So what does the poor man have to do? He reached up his right hand. Peter extended out his right hand. When we believe in the Holy Spirit, when we believe in the power of Jesus Christ, we can reach out in the name of Jesus and people can be lifted up. This man could not receive anything until he reached out for it. And I believe that's where we are today. We're just like Thomas. Unless we reach out like this lame man and ask, we can't receive it. We need to feel like I'm in need. I don't have it all figured out, but I'm willing to reach out and ask that I might receive. So when people reach out, are you willing to reach out your hand to lift them up? Verse 9 and 10. Well, we're at 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Peter here believed in Jesus' healing power. Peter reached out his right hand to help. And Jesus healed the lame man, and everyone's amazed. And we as Christian people today, people will be amazed if we can reach out our hand and help someone else along the way. If we're willing to share the gospel that we have, people will be amazed. They will take notice. And if we go back to John 20, verse 29, Jesus saith unto Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. So we're here today and we believe, and other people will believe because they notice that we believe. So foremost and central in the Christian life is that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's Dallas made a comment this morning about it being so simple. And isn't that true? The lame man did not receive anything until he reached his hand out and asked for it. We need to feel the need of the gospel. The healing happened not because of what Peter had to give, but the healing happened, I believe, because the poor man, the lame man, was asking for the healing. In verse 5, it says he was expecting to receive something. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. One of the other things that I noticed here in this passage, is 10 verses, was that the lame man knew where to go for help. For alms, he went to the temple gate. And the people in our world today, do they know where to go for help? Do we look like a people that are willing to help? Do they know to go to the house of prayer to get help? He could not heal himself. The lame man was at the temple gate because he couldn't heal himself. He knew that he needed help. He noticed Peter and John had been with Jesus. So there was something about Peter and John that he knew was something beyond what he had experienced before. And after the healing, they went together into the temple to praise and worship. And that's when everyone was amazed. Our faith, or our belief, is an internal reality that will result in an external testimony. Our internal belief and our faith will result in an external action or a testimony. Thomas needed Jesus' help to believe. Jesus needed to be there and he needed to touch him. He needed to thrust his hand in his side. The lame man needed Peter's right hand. And he needed a desire to be healed. So what do we need? What do I need? And what do you need to believe today? I believe the feeling that we are in need needs to be a daily experience in our life. And when we have a daily experience of feeling in need, we can pick up the Bible and we can find what we need right here. There's a lot of places that people go to find things that they want, that they feel that they need. But I just encourage you, let's go to the book of Mark. Somehow, I just want to encourage you somehow to generate a feeling within my heart, within our hearts, daily, that we are in need. We don't have everything that we need. We are in need. I think Paul says there somewhere, Lord, help my unbelief. I don't know where that's at. But let's look at Mark chapter 10. We'll start here at verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and to kneeled to him and asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" This is a story about the rich young ruler, and he comes to Jesus in the way, and he says, "What must I do?" Kneeling down, and he asks the very good question, "What shall I do?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why call ye me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing lackest thou. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I see here, in verse 20, a man that had, he had kept all the commandments. In verse 20, he saith unto him, "Master, all these things have I kept from my youth. I don't lack anything." Very self-righteous. No feel of need at all. He had it all figured out. He'd done everything just right. And it says there, Jesus loved him. And he said, "One thing thou lackest. Take up the cross." The cross is a structure of self-sacrifice. Take up the cross. Sacrifice yourself. Follow me. He says, get rid of, crucify that self-righteous idea and start feeling in need of me. The only way that we can begin to feel the need of Jesus and walk with Jesus is when we sacrifice our own self-righteousness and get rid of it. Self-righteousness will in no way enter into the kingdom of God. We need to feel the need of walking with Christ. And in verse 22, sad story, he went away grieved. He could not bring himself to the point of feeling the need. And that's part of my burden today. We can do the whole law, feel self-righteous, we've done everything good. But following Jesus is bigger than that. The wrong opinion of self separates us from God. It does. The wrong opinion of me, myself, completely separates me from God. I just don't feel any need. Let's look at it at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is quick. That's this Bible that we're reading or holding. The word of God is quick. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We're talking this morning about a feeling. A feeling. I need to feel the need of crucifying myself and following Jesus. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The whole world is subject unto this word of God. The whole world, every piece of this world is subject. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So he says here we have a high priest, an advocate, and we covered that real well this morning in the Sunday school lesson. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And what I believe he's saying here, the feelings of our infirmities, is that we feel that we don't have it all figured out. We have infirmities, we have problems, and we're in need. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It says here that God will be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He will be touched by the feelings of our needs. And then he says here in verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, admitting that we are in need, that we may obtain mercy. and find grace in the time of need. It's such a precious promise in my mind that he says here, let us come therefore boldly unto the throne of grace, asking Peter said, let me touch him so that I can believe. But today we can touch him right here. We can reach to the throne of grace and we can obtain mercy. We can come boldly to the throne of grace and we can admit that we are in need. And he will extend his grace. It just seems to me so simple, doesn't it? And yet we're, from day to day, we're just like Thomas. We just doubt just a little bit. Let's kneel for prayer. Mighty God, we just ask you that you would once more grace our feast here today. Lord, just thank you for being here in our presence, and we just pray that you would continue to be in each and every one's heart here as we go from this place, as we fellowship afterward, that you would just be in our presence. Lord, just guide us. Lord, we pray that as we feel a need of you, and that we're willing to reach up, we're willing to reach out, and we're ready, willing to confess and admit that we are in need, Lord, that you would satisfy our needs, that you would be in our presence, you would guide us, direct us, and give us wisdom, give us healing. Help us to be a living testimony on your behalf. Lord, we know that unless you shine out from our lives, then our testimony will not shine out. Thank you for Jesus and the plan of salvation. Thank you for the children that you have blessed us with and that they are here in our presence, Lord. Each one gathered in, Lord, just bless us and keep us. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name.